2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Again, we talked about chapter 1, Paul loving the Christ that's in Timothy. And that's what really draws Paul to Timothy, is the love, or the Christ that's in Timothy. And that's why Paul, even though it's very clear that Timothy is ashamed of Paul right now, Timothy is ashamed of Jesus and the gospel, Paul has a heart towards Timothy that loves the Jesus in him and understands that there are times that people react differently during tribulations and trials, during times of hardship, especially during times when persecution is coming. And so Paul isn't angry at Timothy. Paul is just encouraging Timothy to do some things. So we looked at a couple weeks ago how the main thing that Paul loved was Christ in him. We looked at chapter 2 in the beginning on how as a good soldier, as a good athlete, as a farmer, love invests in others. Love brings out the Christ in others. So a principle that we took out of that is even though in the context we're looking at Timothy being told by Paul to teach men that can teach others also, myself, number one, I look at my home, my wife and my kids. Am I bringing out the love of Christ in them in our home? What am I doing? Or am I quenching the spirit? What is it when you provoke? Am I provoking the anger? Am I provoking a good spirit or a bad spirit? And then to our church people, to other born-again believers, am I being used of God, the love that I have for you? I'm investing in you to bring out Christ's love out of you, right? Now, with that, we looked at when you take time, when you look at bringing the love of Christ out in others, there's going to need to be some endearing, right? There's an endearing love, a love that says, I'm going to be committed, I'm going to be steadfast, I'm going to keep doing this, I'm going to keep looking for those that want to my help, my encouragement to come alongside them and bring the love of Christ out of them, right? We have all been around people to where when we're around them, they bring out the best in us. The best in us should be Jesus Christ. Am I putting myself around people that bring out the Christ in me? That's what enduring love is, right? So when I love someone and they're a believer in Christ, my love for them says, I'm going to help you bring out Christ's love out of you. That's what I'm going to do. And with that comes enduring. Enduring how? We looked at as a farmer, as a soldier, and as an athlete. So, moving on down in chapter 2, look at verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Remind them of these things, commanding them before the Lord that they not argue about words, which leads to nothing of value and to the destruction of those who hear them. So as we move on down in this enduring love, okay, when enduring love, investing in others, does not do some things. Okay, here are the don'ts. Here are the don'ts. You ready? I'm going to say them to you, and I'll keep going over them as this time goes on. But it does not argue about words that leads to nothing. So an enduring love that's looking to bring Christ's love out of people does not argue about words that lead to nothing, a fruitless discussion. Okay, enduring love, investing in others to bring the love of Christ out of them, it avoids profane and foolish babblings. Okay, it avoids profane and foolish babblings because it increases to more ungodliness. It also flees youthful desires. So enduring love, investing in others to bring Christ's love out from others, it flees youthful desires, it does not quarrel, it avoids foolish and unlearned debates because they create strife. So you notice, I'll go over this more and more, but what we're noticing is when love is being invested in someone else to bring Christ's love out of them, it avoids arguing over things that don't matter. It flees desires of me, myself, and I. I have to prove what I know because I'm insecure about how you think of me. A love that brings out the love of Christ out of others does not care about how others view them. Whether the hearers or those that I'm around think that I'm something special or not, or that I know something. It doesn't worry about people around them understanding how much they know or they don't know. They don't care about that. They're not concerned about leaving a legacy. They're not concerned about when I die, here's what I want people to remember about me. They don't think that way. People who are mature and focusing on bringing the love of Christ out of others focuses on this. Today's my last day. Today's my last day. I'm already dead. We're all already dead. According to Revelation, when John's writing things down, you're there responding to things that haven't even happened yet physically to you. Doesn't that blow your mind? I'm going to bring more of that stuff out in Revelation when we do a Revelation study again. It's going to be a lot of fun. It avoids arguing. It avoids strifes. It avoids debates. It avoids pandering or catering to information that leads nowhere. It's going to go nowhere, and it means nothing in the long haul, right? We are in information overload in the world today. I can get something right now to do what with it? Knowledge is not power, like I said last hour. Knowledge is not power. Knowledge applied is potential power. Just knowing something about something means nothing. Just knowing about something doesn't really mean anything. It's the experience, knowledge that comes by experience. Okay? I want to apply, that's living by faith. I'm learning, I'm gathering information, and now I live it out. A love that Paul has towards Timothy is, hey, the Jesus that's in you, as you're bringing that out of others who need to endure, and here's some things that you don't need to focus on. When you're loving someone and bringing Christ's love out of them, don't argue about foolish things. Don't quarrel, don't fight. Don't get in debates that really, at the end of the day, don't mean anything. Now, he'll talk about what to stand up for and how to do it here in a second. He's not saying he'll never stand up for things. He'll get to that here in a second. But here's what not to do. When people are arguing with you about things of no value, they're showing you and telling you where they're at. Right? You ever been around someone, an adult, and go, man, they act childish? So in my response, if I know that, should I act childish back towards them? No. Right? I should be the mature one and go, okay, I see where you're at. I see your position in your emotional unsteadiness and you trying to prove your point because, you know, what a youthful desire is, look at me. So when Paul's saying flee youthful desires are look what I know, look what I can do. Okay, look how important I am. That's what youth think. Me, me, me. And that's part of a youth brain's mindset because they're looking at the world through them. When a child's being raised in their home, they're not thinking you, or perspectives. They're thinking me. Right? And there comes a point in our adult life that should change. No more about me. So enduring love that's trying to bring out the love of Christ as someone else does not argue, doesn't fight, doesn't debate about things of really no value. Doesn't mean anything. A fruitless discussion. Fruitless discussion. It avoids profane and foolish babblings. Why? Because it'll increase to more ungodliness. It flees youthful desires. It doesn't quarrel. It avoids foolish and unlearned debates because they create strife. Let's keep on reading here. Verse 15, study to show yourself approved by God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But avoid profane and foolish babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness, and their word will spread like gangrene. Among them is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have erred concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection has already occurred, and overthrow the faith of some. But the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who calls in the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So there is what Timothy is to do, and other men that are training up others to teach others also, they themselves... I'll pause and not get ahead of myself. Okay? I won't get ahead of myself. I'll get to there here in a second. Okay? The Lord knows that those that are his, that everyone who calls in the name of Christ apart from iniquity. What's the iniquity? The iniquity is in verse 16. The sin is those foolish babblings that increase to more ungodliness. That is the sin, the iniquity, that they need to go away from. Okay? They need to depart from. In a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also those of wood and clay. Some are for honor and some are for dishonor. One who cleanses himself from these things will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, fit for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. So there are people who are born again, doing good, trying to help, trying to do maybe what Timothy is to do, and that is to bring the love of Christ out of them and help them with that. There are others who are teaching false things and turning people from the faith, not losing their salvation, but believing a false teaching. And one of the false teachings there that we see very clearly is that the Lord has already come. The rapture already happened. Rapture already happened, which is not true, Paul is saying. It's not true. But that belief system is turning people away from the faith, and it leads to more ungodly things. Isn't it interesting? Have you ever been around someone who is so focused on end times things? They're really focused on end times things to where they're unbalanced, right? The people that I know that get lost in end time things, the tribulation, Christ coming, wars and rumors of wars, the world's coming to an end. For the most part, this is not true in every case, but for the most part, those people don't witness. They hunker down and they want to bring things to them. They close their doors. I am going to get these things for myself. They become, what's that term? Where someone collects things and kind of hunkers down. What? Prepper. They become a prepper. And it's like, oh my goodness. If you actually would keep reading, when it talks about the more and more we see the day approaching, we need to be around each other more, witnessing more, doing all the things, loving each other more, helping more, right? Serving God more, not reclusing more. But those people that get caught up in eschatology, signs, and the end of the world, and all these things, I don't really see a whole lot of great evangelists come out of that group. I don't see a whole lot of great disciples come out of that group. I mean, if you guys have, let me know, because that will be awesome. I see them get reclused more. Or they're angry and anxious and upset. Why? Because it's not clear to them when Christ is coming. They think it is. Well, we're seeing God come more and more every day, and we've got to be ready. And okay, they said that same thing 2,000 years ago. Paul believed that. According to that time watch, we have 2,000 more years. But no, this thing's happening now. That's what they said in World War II when they're killing all the Jews. According to that time clock, we got another 80 years. Don't worry about the times and seasons. How much more clear does Jesus have to be? But, hey, that'll take care of itself. Today is your last day. Today is your last day. Coming full circle. When I am enduring as an athlete, as a farmer, and as a soldier, thank you, bringing Christ's love out of everybody else, I am enduring and focused on that. I'm not going to worry about things that are going to derail us and sidetrack us. I am going to study to show myself approved. Let's go over, okay, then what do I do? What do I do? Okay? Someone who is investing in others, bringing the love of Christ out of them, they study to show themselves approved. I'm not doing these things to get you approved. I'm doing it for me to get myself approved. Okay? They depart from iniquity. They pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace out of a pure heart. We'll hit on that later. They're gentle toward all people, able to teach, and they're patient. They're gentle, instructing those in opposition. So those that are going through this enduring love, investing in others to bring Christ's love out of everybody else, whether it's my wife, my kids, my family, my friends, church people, born-again believers, they study to show they're approved unto God, they're rightly dividing the word of truth, they're departing from iniquity, they're pursuing righteousness, faith, love, and peace out of a pure heart. They're gentle toward all people. They're able to teach and they're patient. They're gentle and instructing those in opposition. That is what we'll see here on what to do. Notice gentle and patience and gentle and patient and gentle and patient and love and love. Gentle, patient, and love. Why? Because your enduring love, bringing the love of Christ out of them, is not on your timeline as you're helping them. Everyone grows at different paces. Everyone grows at different times. You're not doing it for them. You're doing it because you love Jesus and you love the Jesus in them, and you want to take time to bring the love of Jesus out of them. That's why you're doing it. In love, serve one another. So that process looks like this. Be gentle and be patient. Have some love. You study it out so that when you are instructing in patience and in love and enduring, it's going to come across in a sweet spirit. It'll come across in love and joy and peace, right? It's going to come across that way. Not, you need to change because you're not living right for God. We've all been in churches like that, haven't we? Well, they don't really focus on who you are in Christ. They focus on, are you doing, are you living, are you check the box for Christ? It's not what we want to become. It starts with me understanding that as I'm bringing Christ's love out of others, here's what I focus on. Be gentle, be patient. Be gentle and be patient. I'm loving Jesus, and I'm in the love of Jesus that's in you. So whether you're behaving at the rate and time in which I want you to, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm investing in you for the long haul. That's the vision. Until Christ comes and gets me or I die. That's the vision. Until Christ comes and get me or I die. Or as long as you want it, you can say, hey, no more, I'm done. This Christian thing isn't for me, I'm out. That's different. Paul loves the Jesus that's in Timothy. Paul wants Timothy to bring that love, that same love. Timothy, just as I love the Christ in you, I want you to love the Christ in them and do these things. Be patient, love them, instruct them. You have to know it first. Don't teach someone something you don't know. Don't teach someone something you don't know. If you know it, you'll learn it better as you teach. But don't tackle a position that you're struggling with yourself. It's not about how much you know, Timothy. It's what are you doing with what you know. If all you know is that Jesus Christ came, he died, and rose again, then, my friend, you teach that. You be elite at that. I'm trying to tell our wrestlers right now, there's so many wrestling moves, right? There's so many wrestling terminology, wrestling moves, wrestling philosophies. There are thousands, and you just can't say in wrestling, hey, just teach them the basics. That doesn't work, because every move, every system has basics to it, right? Everything has basics to it. So just saying, hey, just go over the basics and fundamentals. Wrestling does not have that, okay? It's what philosophy are we doing? So I would rather have us, I'm telling our kids this, I would rather have us elite at three, at most, four things. And have us be positionally aware. I'm in this position, this is what I do. I'm in this position, this is what I do. I'm in this position, elite at three or four things. Not knowing a thousand things. I want to get our believers in Christ there too. Hey, I'd rather have you elite at four things and know that when you're in this position, this is what you do. When you're in this circumstance, this is what you do. When you're afraid, this is what you do. When you're teaching someone that's afraid, this is what you teach them. When they're lacking faith, this is what you do. When you're in these four positions, the three biggest topics in America, you guys know what they are, don't you? Here they are. Number one, my health. My health. How many articles, how many books, how much money is focused on my health? My health. My health. Number two, finances. Finances. How much money is spent on how to make more money? How much money is spent on colleges that don't provide money when they get out on their career path? Money, money, money. How to make more money. How to spend money. Can anybody guess the third one? Relationships. Booyah, exactly. Relationships. Relationships. How to communicate. How to love. How to have a good marriage. How to have a successful this. Relationships. How to have good business partners. How to have this. The three things, my health, my finances, and relationships. Oh man, I have a pretty good book on all three of those. And it's pretty simple. It's not easy. Two different things, isn't it? Simple and easy are not the same. Because biblical simple is this. You cannot think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself, right? It's not about me, per se, as much as it is about you. And if everyone was more focused on you, how great would everyone be? I studied to learn. I love Jesus. I love the Jesus that's in you. And I'm going to endure some hard times. I'm going to endure for the long haul. I'm going to say I'm in this. I'm committed. until Christ comes and gets me or I die. And during that time, I'm not going to talk to you about foolish debates and argue with you and, you know, be critical and judgmental. And, you know, you ever talk to someone and they're just so antsy to respond to prove their point? They're not listening to learn. They're not listening to learn. They're waiting for you to stop to catch your breath and say, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. That is a, just listen to learn, hear their perspective, and say, okay. And maybe just say this, I don't know. I don't know. You know, times people have walked in the church, walked in the office, and I listened to learn, and they told me their story, and I said to them, man, I am really sorry. I have never experienced that. I cannot relate to you. But you know what's great about that? As I can bring you to someone who can. Because Isaiah said he bore our griefs and our sorrows. I'm not going to try and relate to you. I can't. I don't know. But here's what I do know, because these are Bible promises. If you accept Christ as your personal Savior, the problem you just told me about won't go away. It'll still be there. But when you accept Christ as your Savior and you're going through that problem, Jesus says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. At least you have a king that'll be helping you through that. At least you have someone that knows about that problem more than you do to say, hey, here's what I want you to learn from that. Here's what I want you to experience from that. As you receive the comfort of the Holy Ghost through this trial, that I'm not authoring, I'm not giving this to you, but as you receive the comfort and love from the Holy Spirit, you can now share that same comfort with those that are going through the same thing you're going through. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Is it worth it? Is it worth it, my love for the Lord, to try and bring up the love of Christ in others, that I'm doing right, I'm doing well, I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, and bad things are happening to me. Bad circumstances are happening to me. God's allowing them to happen to me so that I can say, Lord, I know this is not from you. I know, though, that all things will work together for my good because I love you. Lord, as I receive comfort from you because I'm leaning on you, allow my heart to be open to another believer in Christ, that I can share that same comfort I'm receiving right now with them. Why? Because I want to bring your love that's in them out of them. Trials are our friends. Don't run from tribulation. Run to it. Because as you get through it, there is things more precious than gold, Peter says, on the other side. I have to change my thought process on tribulations and trials. But I'm not talking about reaping what you sow, all right? I made a bad decision, I'll reap that. That's not it. I'm doing everything right, and these things are happening to me. I'm accepting it, running towards it, saying, okay, Lord, on the other side is something more precious than gold. I'm going to conform more to your image. Absolutely, bring it on. I have to value that, because when I do that, I will have greater knowledge and experience to bring out the love of Christ in others. I won't be limited to just information. I will have experienced it to where now I have power. I can say, hey, I've been through what you've been through. Here's what God did. Here's what he said. I've been through that. If all I have is information at that time, that's fine. I'm going to use what I have. But there is a huge process on loving the Jesus that's in others. There's a huge process in enduring, trying to bring Christ's love out of others. That process is you can't get caught up in arguing over things that don't matter, that have fruitless outcome in the Greek. But you study, you're patient, you're gentle, you're loving. And when you teach, you'll be able to bring that love out of them because it's going to come across as not critical and judgmental. But hey, come along with me and we'll go through this together. That's how it'll come across. I'll finish up chapter 2. In verse 22, so flee youthful desires and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and unlearned debates, knowing that they create strife. The servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but must be gentle toward all people, able to teach, patient, in gentleness instructing those in opposition. Perhaps God will grant them repentance to know the truth, and they may escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will. So there are those who are opposing the truth that we know. But as I'm patient and loving, and I explain this information to them, they'll say, many of them will say, oh man, I was wrong. And they'll repent. They'll turn to God. And that's what we want. We desire those in opposition who are born again, this is for a born again context, to get back in a right fellowship with the Lord. That's exciting. We can help be a part of that. Enduring love that invests in others, just like Paul and Timothy, they don't argue, they avoid profane, foolish babblings, they flee youthful desires, and they avoid foolish and unlearned debates because they create strife. But on the other side, enduring love that brings the love of Christ out from others, studies to show approvedness, rightly divides God's truth, departs from iniquity, pursues righteousness, faith, love, and peace out of a pure heart, gentle toward all people, patient, gentle instructing those in opposition. I believe one of our greatest examples is Jesus Christ in the Old Testament when he is here. How much patience he had even towards those who opposed him. One of the greatest, I mean, not one, oops, scratch that, the only one, greatest teacher to show us a living example of how to invest our love in someone else and how to bring out their love out of them is watching how Christ instructs others. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful and thankful for Jesus Christ. We're so grateful for these truths, Lord. Allow our hearts and minds to be focused on you this Christmas, not just the gift of salvation, but the love that's in us. Allow us to fall in love with the gift of salvation that's in others. And allow us to be patient and gentle as we help bring Christ's love out of them for your honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.